Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What in the F is going on in Dallas?
Who knows?
And is there a sense of urgency as you begin the preseason to get CD down, done?
No.
No? Why you say that?
I'm I went to high school, or I went to college. I don't know why I said it, but I'm just saying I don't know. I don't have a sense of urgency about getting it done.
Because it's a long-standing tradition.
Pick any reason you want. I was at Nobu 2 days ago. Give that as a reason.
Yes, sir, we will.
Put out there.
Jerry Jones might be one of those people that needs to go bye-bye-bye.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think most people in Dallas are starting to feel like Jerry's the reason.
There are a lot of Dallas fans that I know of, and they all kind of have the same message. This team ain't going anywhere as long as Jerry's running things.
They're going to wait until the last leaf falls. I like that Whataburger, the classic double with cheese out of a wet paper sack.
Jerry Jones is the reason that team was so great in the 90s. I will give him all that credit. He made one of the biggest trades in football history. He's also the reason why that team is an absolute mess of a dumpster fire who still needs to sign Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons. They're not going to sign all three of them. They're probably going to sign two of them, and I think Dak is the odd man out. But what we saw yesterday was a little weird. A little weird.
I liked CeeDee Lamb's response of like, LOL.
Yeah. And then, of course, start the engines. Start the engines. CeeDee Lamb changes his Twitter handle. And again, I know there's people out there that are a lot older than me that are rolling their eyes and going, oh my God, here we go. This guy's going to join the show and he's going to talk about Twitter handles. Look, CeeDee Lamb changed everything about his profile. We see this all the time. When guys are unhappy, they drop the team name, right, they change the picture. He changed his picture to the Oklahoma days where he's rocking the number 2. And by the way, next to him is Hollywood Brown rocked the number 5.
That's right.
Hold my beer. Hollywood Brown keeps his profile picture as the Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver, but his background picture is himself.
Him and CeeDee Lamb.
And CeeDee Lamb.
That's right.
Now, there's no way. I can't say no way. There's probably a slim chance, snowball's chance in hell that CeeDee Lamb would be a Chief. But isn't this great? You got a team in Dallas that's just pining to get a playoff victory, to be relevant again, and their best wide receiver and a top wide receiver in the league is doing whatever he can to politically campaign to be like, hey, just Hollywood, I know you've only been there for like 7 days, mm-hmm. but like talk to that guy, Clark Hunt, maybe talk to that guy, Brett Veach, and see if there's any sort of chance and get me out of Dallas and let me be with Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, I went to bed last night. I'm like thinking to myself, what are the possibilities, Dusty? And the first thing I said to myself was, well, there's none. And then the second thing I said to myself was, okay, they might go undefeated if that happened. Like if they had CeeDee Lamb going undefeated
if it doesn't happen.
Fair enough. And they're going to win every game 42-0.
Right.
But this is the day of sports where like this can cause a blank storm. And I know Jerry Jones doesn't care, but it's interesting to see that.
I don't even think Jerry Jones knows what's going on.
It's interesting to know that this sort of thing is happening and it involves the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think it's interesting that Jerry Jones said it's not a priority to get CeeDee Lamb done. And then it was interesting the way that CeeDee Lamb responded, you know, that tweet. And then Dez Bryant weighed in as well, where he said something to the effect of they'll never sign a great wide receiver in Dallas. And so like everybody's kind of piling on. And look, I understand where Jerry Jones is coming from because I don't know that Jerry Jones knows who his quarterback's going to be after this season, right? I don't think he knows what's going to happen. And so I don't think he wants to spend money on anybody right now until they figure out what's going to happen at that quarterback spot. CeeDee Lamb is under contract for one more year. This is the time you hold out. This is the absolute right time you hold out because, well, if you play this year, then you just become a free agent and you don't get any more money. And guys want to make sure they have financial security. There's not many times in life for any of us that we get the opportunity to cash in and have financial security, let alone for a football player who gets maybe one or two contracts that are very big and robust. CeeDee Lamb has the opportunity to do that, and he doesn't want to risk getting hurt, so he's going to sit out. I'm all for CeeDee Lamb holding out until he gets the money or the situation that he wants because guys in the NFL don't have much leverage. Teams have zero loyalty to players in the NFL. They cut you at a drop of a hat. So this is the leverage that he has. You use it to your fullest extent. And if they end up trading him to Kansas City, that'd be a lot of fun to have him here. But we have seen KC doesn't want to pay wide receivers either, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. CeeDee Lamb's going to get one of those contracts that's like in the range of Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown, all those guys who got to pay. Jamar Chase is going to get one too. So that's why it's a zero. But I mean, I'm that guy that just I'm twisted and sick in the head when it comes to sports discussions, and I think to myself like, okay, what would happen?
Mahomes to CeeDee, oh, it'd be so good.
I mean, you got that Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, yeah. Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco,
and maybe you do go get CeeDee Lamb just to deliver that knockout blow to the rest of the league and say, you know what? Screw you all. We're gonna go get CeeDee Lamb. We're gonna take care of business here and eliminate y'all in August.
Would you give Worthy and a pick?
Would I give Worthy and a pick?
That's what it's going to take. I mean,
no. Because you're going to have to sign CeeDee.
Yep.
Yeah. And you got control under.
You've got Worthy and a rookie deal. Five years, yeah. If you want it. No, I'm not giving up a guy in a rookie contract with 5 years of control for a guy that you're going to have to pay $25 to $30 million a year. No, I'm not doing that at all. Would I give up a first-round draft pick for CeeDee Lamb right now? Hell yeah, I would give up him. Yeah. Would I trade Kadarius Toney for CeeDee Lamb straight up? You bet I would.
Yeah. Is that a bad sport?
You know what? I'd throw in Sky Moore as well. I would trade CeeDee Lamb to Kansas City for Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. I would have no problem with that trade.
Would you trade Rashee Rice in a second round pick for CeeDee Lamb?
No.
Who, Rashee Rice? Wait.
No, because you still have control with Rashee Rice for 3 more years.
Right.
Concluding this one, because he's a second round pick, so he doesn't have the fifth year option. He's got 4 years. You still have 3 more years of control.
Right.
Now, I'm not trading any players that I like for him. Yeah. I will trade picks for CeeDee Lamb.
Well, we know Brett Veach loves picks more than players.
I know.
Which is tough.
Right.
Now, I mean, it brings up a debate.
I mean,
what's your worst sports take?
My worst sports take was cutting Alex Gordon at the opening day of 2011. That was my worst sports take ever. See, that's a no-brainer for me.
I think my worst sports take was that Matt Castle could be an MVP.
I think we all had that.
Straight up, on God himself. I said, Matt Castle coming to Kansas City, he could be an MVP quarterback. That's probably my worst take. 913-586-7610. Be honest. Humble yourself. Have you ever had a sports take that was terrible that came back to bite you in the ass?
And if you say no, we can go back on the text line and look it up because we keep records.
Yeah, everyone's had a bad take.
There's a lot of, and the reason we bring it up is because Carrington declared yesterday's Team USA game over on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then Gold Sports Takes.
Is he in there right now?
He's in there.
Is he on the air?
He is
on the air. All right. Because I would say, come on in here and talk a little bit about that bad take that you had yesterday. Team USA. You're not counting them out.
No faith.
He'll just say it was reverse psychology.
Well, this game's over. No, it's not.
I also told my buddy who's also a Tennessee Vols fan, Big Ed.
We call
him Big Ed. I told him last year that Milton was going to win the Heisman.
Yeah, that's bad.
Not a bad take at the start of the season.
No, it started the season. It's fine. Yeah, Milton sucks, but Patriots fans don't know that yet. My first take would be, first bad take that comes to mind would be Russell Wilson to the Broncos. I thought that was home run. Thought that was going to be insane. I thought the team was going to be incredible. Contender.
Let's ride. You should have known as soon as he cut that promo, it wouldn't
have
happened.
Yeah.
As soon as he said, let's ride. Broncos country. Perfect. Let's ride.
From the 913, Bob, your worst take was wanting to trade Bobby Witt Jr. all offseason. That's not what I said. I said, if you're not going to sign Bobby Witt long-term, you trade Bobby Witt. They signed him long-term, therefore you don't trade Bobby Witt. You don't keep a guy around if you're not going to sign him with that kind of value to make your organization better.
Yeah, you don't want to lose him for nothing. That's all you're saying. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Because until John Sherman wrote the check, we had not seen ownership ever step up and really pay somebody to keep them here long-term like they did with Bobby Witt Jr. And so if you're losing 106 games and you're not planning to sign Bobby Witt or he doesn't want to sign here long-term, the trade value was the highest it was ever going to be last offseason. You trade Bobby Witt Jr. and you start to rebuild your ball club. They signed him instead, and I'm good with that. And that's one of the two options.
You got another one besides Russell?
Recently, last year, Justin Ross thought he was going to be like a starting wide receiver. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Fell for that one.
Matt Castle's MVP is almost as bad as a take as Blake Bortles being Tom Brady.
Oh, God.
Blake Bortles' take from that midday guy.
It wasn't a midday guy.
He was a morning guy.
Yeah.
Wore a leather jacket and gelled his hair every morning. From the 913, I wanted Deshaun Watson over Mahomes. Thank you, Ron Hughley.
Watson, yes!
That's not a bad take.
No, it is now.
At the time, it wasn't. And I really do think like there was conversation. And from what I was told, Deshaun Watson didn't know who John Dorsey was in their interview. And so they booted him to the curb after that.
We'll get more into your bad takes on the other side. But I want to get into what is the I-70 series and why I still think it's alive. The Royals and Cardinals tonight at 7 o'clock. Vern at 6. All here on 610 Sports Radio. Mac, the Sack, Maury, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. I don't know what that nickname was. It's on the cusp, and it's on the come.
It rhymes.
610 Sports Radio, Nick Nack, Patty Wag. I just rhymed there. Fesco in the morning on 610 Sports Radio. Back in on Fesco in the morning. Mac, Maury, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco with you on a Friday.
You.
Fun week, boys. A lot of information this week. A lot of balls rolling in the right direction.
That's right.
That's a saying.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yep. You got
the balls rolling in the right direction.
That's right. Call that a pool reference.
You ever put your pool table on an angle so the balls all roll in one hole and only you know about it?
No, but if you went to the Dew Drop Inn back in the day.
Oh, God, the Dew Drop. Love
their
it.
Pool table leaned right corner. So if you had that shot, you knew exactly where it was rolling if you played there long enough.
You tell me a spot that had a better pickled egg selection on the bar than did the Dew Drop Inn.
That reminds me of the scene from The Ladies' Man. They all make him eat weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The Dew Drop Inn.
Great place back in the day. Somebody put a hex on me.
Who did?
Some lady. I went there with my buddy Paul. We were playing pool, and a song came out. I was like, oh, is this Fountains of Wayne? And she looked at me, and she goes, it is not. And I was getting ready to, shoot my shot in pool, and I just look over, and she's doing, the witch fingers. And I was
no
like,
no way.
I'm dead serious. I wouldn't make this up. And I looked at my buddy Paul, and I was like, did I just get a hex put on me? He goes, I'm not really into witchcraft, man, but that's what that looked like. And she was, cloaked out in the black.
Oh, really?
It was, a Sunday night at 9 o'clock.
What year was that?
This was probably, it was before it closed, so it was probably, 2018.
Did the Dew Drop make it through COVID?
No. It did not.
Did not.
It did not. They sold it, and it's been two restaurants since.
Really? See, you got to keep it the Dew Drop Inn. That place was legendary, man.
Yeah, and they had a shtick, too. Their bartenders were a little sassy.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get a Budweiser? You could say, please. May I please have a Budweiser? I guess.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, we need more restaurants like that.
We do. Yeah, Dick's Last Resort. You ever go to those places? Oh, my
That's
God.
That's where they can be mean to you?
Be mean and nasty to you. Just mean and nasty back. It's all the shtick that they have. The Dew Drop Inn we used to go to in college all the time. We would drive over from Lawrence and do construction work at these houses in Lee Summit, and then the Dew Drop Inn was always the stop.
Yep.
Always the stop.
Now it is, it was Sabor Latino, and now it is El Plateau. So it went from not a Mediterranean, but like maybe like an Indian cuisine to a Mexican restaurant.
Okay.
So it's what it is now in the corner.
Can it go back to the Dew Drop In and bring everything?
Man. I wish. Now that pool table is in Llewellyn's and it still has
the same. Is it really?
Role. Yeah, it's in the Llewellyn's stage and now it still has the same role.
Same role. That's same cool. Role.
You still got to like really elbow grease the quarter thing to get the balls to roll out in the right direction.
That's old school.
Royals Cardinals start their 2-game series tonight. They wrap up the I-70 series. Bobby Witt Jr. continues his MVP campaign. It'll be Michael Lorenzen tonight, the guy that has absolute Mac-10 trucks for biceps. Mm-hmm. When I watched that guy pitch for some, I was like, all right, here's a new heartthrob in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And also, holy cow, look at his arms. So he pitches tonight against, I believe it is, Miles Mikolas, 5 ERA advantage. Tomorrow is Michael Wacha versus his former team. Doesn't matter who they're throwing. Big advantage. At home, where the Royals play better. And again, we talked about this earlier. I need 2 out of 2.
Yeah, you do.
You're the superior team.
Yep.
Cleveland and Minnesota are playing a 4-game series this weekend. Doubleheader today. You can make a massive amount of ground. If you can win 2 and one of those other teams can lose 3 out of 4, you will leapfrog. Or even if you win 2 and they split, you still gain. And then that 4-game series could be a 3, could be a 2, could be a 2.5. You play Minnesota Monday, and not only that, you have this little 2-game series sandwiched between 2 byes.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think you're right about getting 2 wins. I don't think there's any excuse to not go get 2 wins against the Cardinals, and I think this is the time where you can start to say it's moving day, right, in the American League Central Division, because as you mentioned with the Twinkies and the Guardians playing each other today in a doubleheader, yes, I'll probably be sitting on the patio watching that all afternoon, because that's summer sicker than others category, right? If you want to come over, I know you got
but
no concert tonight.
But it's also nice outside.
Beautiful outside, right?
It's like the 70s and
all. It'd be perfect. Sitting outside, watching some baseball, doing whatever it is that I want to do, and enjoying my Friday.
And you just introduced yourself to your neighbors, so you guys are friends now?
Yeah, right. Yeah, for 12 years we didn't know each other. No, I kid. Where was I going with this? Very important. It's moving day.
Yeah.
Either way, if you take care of business this weekend, you're gaining ground in the standings. On who? I don't know. And I'm not going to sit here and try to figure all the math out and all that. Who do I want to root for?
Mm-hmm.
Just take care of business. We've got to take care of business ourselves. That's all that matters, right? That's
right.
All that matters. If we don't win these games against the Cardinals, ain't going to matter what happens between Cleveland and Minnesota. You win these 2 games against the Cardinals, whatever happens against Minnesota, there's going to be carnage, and we're going to find our way around that carnage, and we're going to move ahead of one of these teams, hopefully, by Sunday afternoon.
The best part about it is that there's a couple of things that can come to fruition at the end of the season if certain things happen that aren't really that much of a far stretch cry. That is, if the Royals win their division, which is very plausible, very, very much a thing, Bobby Witt Jr. is your MVP. The Royals win their division. I think Matt Quatrero is your manager of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that. Bias all hell, Royals, colored glasses, whatever you want. But that also means playoffs.
Yeah,
and if there's anybody that's more in tune to the city, it is one Bob Fesco. And you're hearing things that people outside of this radio show, 10-2 and 2-6, also believe we could see playoff baseball in Kansas City.
Well, I got a text the other day from a friend of mine who runs a hotel downtown, not Tammy from the Westin, right? And so Tammy's texting. No, it has nothing to do with Tammy. Did not receive a text from Tammy yesterday, which I'm very disappointed in, Tammy. But I got a tip from somebody. She's not a sports fan. We'll just put it that way. And she texted me yesterday. She goes, I'm getting calls from Major League Baseball wanting rates for postseason hotel rooms. She goes, is this a real thing?
Yeah, dude. It is.
I said, she goes, do the Royals really have a chance to make the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, they have a real chance to make the postseason, right? So Major League Baseball now is calling here to Kansas City to start reserving those hotel rooms and get their block of rooms or find their best rate and whatnot for the postseason. The other thing that I heard this week at some point in time, I can't remember what day it was now. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was the day before. It doesn't matter when. Fox has been in town doing a site scout around Kauffman Stadium to find out where they want to set up their set for the World Series.
Really?
Yes. Now, I know all of that is stuff they're probably doing in
pre-plan.
All different markets. You got to pre-plan, right? You got to do all that.
But they're doing it here.
But they're doing it here, right? Like, that doesn't happen a lot. So, for folks who continue to wonder, is this a playoff team? Major League Baseball and Fox both believe that the Royals are a team that have an unbelievable shot to get into the playoffs, And they're starting to put their plans in motion for postseason baseball here in Kansas City. And I think that's pretty freaking awesome. Like,
yeah.
I got that text yesterday from my friend or day before, whatever it was. And she's like, is this real? Like, the Royals really have a chance to make the playoffs? Major League Baseball's calling. They want room rates for the playoffs. I'm like, well, oh, yeah. Yes, they are.
No
yes,
doubt
baby.
About it.
Here we go.
Especially if you win your division, you get home playoff game no matter what.
Yeah.
Right? So wild card team, you're not going to get a home playoff game because it's three games in one place.
Yeah.
And that's it. You get a home playoff game.
I think unless you're that top wild card.
Is that what it is?
I think the two division winners get the byes. And then the division winner and the top wild card team host the wild card games.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're right. If the Royals get the last wild card spot, no home game unless they win the wild card round.
Right.
Yeah.
And not only that, there's two things that I want to see for the Royals to be in the playoffs. One, this town in October would be absolutely on fire because you'd have the Chiefs going for a three-peat, the Royals back in the playoffs for the first time in 10 years.
I mean, you think nothing got done in October of 14 and
right.
October of 15 because the Royals were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now the Chiefs are going for an undefeated Super Bowl three-peat and the Royals are in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what right now, if you own a business or you're a boss and October rolls around, just pretend like everybody's there and just give everybody a free pass. Don't be a hard ass to your employees in October because ain't nobody going to be sober.
Right. The other thing, too, that I think the text line could speak to this is I want to be proven wrong. And the reason I say this is in 2015, I bought the, or in 14, I bought the Always October hoodie.
Oh, yeah. I still have that. It's a great hoodie.
We all do. But it's starting to get tarnished. I want a new hoodie.
Yeah.
I want to be selfish. I want to bathe myself in new Royals playoff gear. I also, being more involved in this station, I want to go cover that. I know you got all that fun experience where you're on the field and the blue, you get to bring the blue suit out again.
Yeah.
Like we get to see Blue Tux Bob again. Like I'm excited to see that. But there is an actual chance and it's getting more and more believable because we're here on August 9th talking about what could possibly be and the fact that you're four games out of your division, a half game behind second place. And those two teams play each other for four games, and you play St. Louis, who the text line also says, the Cardinals have a losing record against the White Sox this season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's the case, you ought to storm bro these
yeah,
guys.
Right,
you know what I'm
exactly,
saying?
Yeah.
And you play St. Louis, you're at home, you had a day off yesterday, you're coming off a massive win against Boston that gives you a lot of charisma and a lot of, or I guess the kids would say a lot of riz at this moment. And then you get an off day Sunday, and you travel to Minnesota for three more. So everything coming together at the right time. And as we've said all summer, and a lot of people that have followed me have shown, the Royal Caribbean cruise is still sailing. It's still strong. And let's cruise this thing into October.
Yeah, usually October, you're taking the river cruise on the Danube, right? Like that's kind of the October is the month for that. So,
sure.
Yeah, I'm loading up on the boat. From the 913, Bob, that conversation just gave me chills and brought a tear to my eye. I can't believe it. I'm so excited for a hometown team. Let's go Royals. Yeah, I read your text and got goosebumps. Like there's nothing better than that playoff baseball and that playoff feel. And to know that Major League Baseball is now like calling for hotel rates in Kansas City for October, that tells you that people believe. And it's not just us that believes anymore. Major League Baseball is buying it. Maybe that's how the script was written this year, to get the Royals back to the playoffs. Because it's good for baseball to have the Royals in the playoffs. I mean, the crowds were outstanding. America fell in love, with our baseball team because of how good they were. We're ready to go as a fan base. We're ready to explode. They just have to take care of business on the field. And that's why I think this is a huge, every game from here on out is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We can't sit here every day and say every game is a must win game because we'll absolutely drive ourselves to drink and pass out on the floor
right.
from exhaustion. Cause it is baseball. And every day you just want to win series and that's how you stack wins. But when you have an opportunity with only two games against a team that hasn't played great baseball over the last couple of weeks, you do have to go in there and take care of business against the St. Louis Cardinals. Cause you don't want to get swept and lose two games of the Cardinals and then be thinking what could have been. And then all of a sudden Major League Baseball isn't looking for hotel rooms here in Kansas City anymore. Right.
Not only that, you bring it all together. You have the Chiefs starting their season in full force in October. Hopefully the Royals are playing playoff baseball in October. The KC Current going for a national or a championship title.
Yeah. They're playing great soccer.
And
yeah.
they would host that in Children's Mercy or in the
CPKC.
Yeah.
You'd
have that there. So you'd have a team to win a championship, a team trying to win a championship, and a team trying to win a three-peat, all going on at the same exact time.
Yeah.
Your boy Michael Kay, though, brought up a funny and slash interesting conversation about how he would fix baseball.
Ninth inning of a close game, it could be the bottom of the order. In the biggest moment of the game in the NBA, LeBron's having the ball in his hand. Jalen Brunson's having the ball in his hand. Curry's having the ball in his hand. In the biggest moment in a baseball game, you might not see Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. So I've always contended, let's really get funky here. In the ninth inning, you get to recalibrate and send up the three batters you want. All right, I want to send up Volpe, Soto, and Judge. Then you got a chance. Then you're going to see your best players. Now you can pick whichever one you want for the first one. I just pulled Volpe out of the air. And you see your best players in the biggest moments with the game on the line.
I love it. I think it's outstanding. He makes a great point. Every other game, biggest moment, Patrick Mahomes 2 minutes ago, he gets the football.
Right.
Basketball, LeBron's going to take the last shot, right? You see it all the time. Hockey, you can put your best players on the ice. Baseball, down by one, biggest moment, you may have 7, 8, 9 coming up. That really sucks, right? And obviously, when people respond on social media, it's usually against whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. We've come to that. So I don't take for a lot of what people post on social media because it's usually opposite negative about things, right? Because if somebody likes something, they don't normally comment. They just like it and move on.
Fair.
And so, like, all the comments yesterday were kind of ripping Michael Kay for that take. And I'm thinking to myself, man, people really do just hate change. I think baseball has done an amazing job implementing the new rules to the game. I think that would be a cool way to finish off the ninth inning if you had the opportunity to put your three best players up there. And then if they didn't perform well, then that's on them. But at least you put your best players in position to have an opportunity to affect the game at the end, like every other sport gets the opportunity to do.
So the three players for the Royals would be Bobby, Sal, and Vinny?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Unless, you know, I think you could probably do it based on a lot of matchups. Like if let's just use Massey for an example. He's 5 for 5 against the guy pitching. Then you probably want to put Michael Massey up there because he hits that guy well. Or if somebody's 4 for 4 in a game, maybe you want to move him up there and put him in there. But I would say the majority of time in the ninth inning of a close game, you got an opportunity. Yeah, you would want Bobby, Vinny, Salvi. And I would go in that order, too.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's the thing that's kind of interesting is in the playoffs, like if the Royals make it, like that's where you could have your discussion of like, do you lead Bobby Witt Jr. off to get him more at bats? Because I remember back then as a kid when Griffey was chasing the home run record, I think he had like 55 or 56. There was like 2 weeks left of the season. They were like, we're going to move King Griffey Jr. up to the top of the lineup, number one, because that way he's guaranteed to hit more often than not.
But Bobby doesn't like leading off, and I'm not messing with Bobby Witt right now. I wouldn't touch Bobby Witt.
No,
I mean, like the people
let him stay
where he is. Yeah.
Right. But no, that is interesting because it's just, I think this is the greatest thing that you can have in sports. And some people in the text line hate it, think it's silly. Yeah. But again, the best part about it is you can have these discussions because it is interesting how sports differentiate, right? In the NFL.
And it's also interesting because baseball has shown a willingness to change, right? This may be a drastic change that they never even consider, but baseball has changed their rules as much as anybody for the better.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that football kind of did this once the 13-second game happened where they were like, oh, well, if he touches the football, somebody else has to be able to get the football as well.
You're right.
You saw it happen with Mahomes and Brady. They're like, oh, well, Mahomes get the ball. Well, that's the rules. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years later, it's like, well, actually, we're going to change the rules. So not saying that the MLB would ever do this. They won't ever do this. They'll still play 162 games until I'm dead and gone. But the thing about this is that it is interesting how sports are so different that in football, you can have the opportunity to get the ball back to your star players. That's just the way the game goes. In baseball, it's just kind of a luck of the draw. Like, how many times in Mariano Rivera's great career did he pitch to 7, 8, 9 in the ninth inning, and it was like, oh, that's all I have to face? Mm-hmm. It also gives you the strategy of like, okay, well, that's why a lot of people have a ninth hitter be a backup first leadoff hitter. That's why you might see sometimes Michael Garcia hit ninth. Or you know, back in the day, I remember Ray Sanchez would hit ninth because he got on base. I know that's a pull from a different decade. But that's why they would do that. So I think that is an interesting conversation. I don't think it would ever happen. But
They always used to say, like, your number nine was your second leadoff hitter, right? Like, you put a guy that could get on base and then set the table, if you would, for the top of the order and for the top of the lineup to kind of get out there and come through. So, yeah, you'd love to have a great number nine hitter as well. You'd love to have a great lineup 1 through 9, but not everybody has that. So I like it. I'm all about trying different things and new things to create more excitement. And that does create more excitement because you know what else it does? It's good for our job, too, because say they put Bobby, Vinny, and Sal up and they go 0 for 3 and you had like other guys coming up that were good that day and they didn't put him in there. We get the rip Q.
Right. And not only that, people were like, well, this would never happen. Well, we never thought there'd be a ghost runner on second in extra innings, but here we are. There's also there's also a pitch clock.
Pitch clock. Right? There's also bigger bases. Like, baseball has done a great job of changing. The changes that they have made this game so much better, Dusty. It's been so good. Like, I don't know if the new kickoff rules in the NFL are going to have as much excitement as the pitch clock and the ghost runner do in Major League Baseball. At least the NFL's trying to do something different to get some more excitement into the game. But man, I love what baseball's doing. And if you go to a ninth inning, that's just like the home run derby, you know, where there's no rules and you just start hitting the ball, you know, for the last 30 seconds. If baseball did that in the ninth inning, how compelling that would be.
A little bit of fun here to wrap up this mid 8 o'clock segment. There was some news that came out either this week or last week about a reoccurring acting role. Robert Downey Jr. is going to be the villain now instead of Iron Man. Is there a role in this world of a movie if it got revamped where you couldn't see somebody else being that character?
Well, I think Red and Shawshank Redemption is the number one. And
nobody can replace Morgan Freeman. You'd never want to see that.
No, but I was reading an article this morning about like behind the scenes secrets of Shawshank Redemption. Somehow I stumbled upon that, right? And I think they looked at Gene Hackman to originally play Red.
Well, he's a white redheaded Irishman in the book.
So Gene Hackman would have been perfect. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, but I can't see Gene Hackman playing that part.
Yeah. I mean, the one that like screamed to me would be like, nobody else could be the Terminator.
No.
Like, yeah, that's a good one.
You talk about a role that was made perfectly for one human being. Yeah. It was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right. Who else would say, I'll be back?
You couldn't do it. There's nobody else that could do it.
The line was something different too. I don't know what the line used to be, but he wanted to say, I'll be, and the director was like, fine, just say that.
Neighbor. I think it was Neighbor. Lou Ferrigno as the Hulk is another one.
Yeah, but what's his face? Did a really good job in the Avengers. I don't know what his name is.
Oh, yeah. He was good.
That guy was good. And then Ed Norton was terrible.
Are you an Ed Norton fan?
From what I've heard about who he is as a person, no.
Oh, I've never heard anything about that.
I heard he's just a real Richard on sets.
Oh, is he?
That's too bad.
Yeah, I heard that he's just not a. Like, Rounders is one of my favorite movies of all time, a.k.a. The Worm and Rounders. And there's been like reports that Matt Damon was like, it was just brutal to work with him.
Really?
Yeah. And then
Matt Damon's my man crush, just so you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then when he did.
Who wouldn't want to be Matt Damon?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be Matt Damon.
Why? What a great life. Millionaire, hangs out, has a lot of fun.
Nah, I totally get it. But I will say this. They said in when Ed Norton redid The Hulk, they said he was great. What are you rolling your eyes for?
Nothing.
Yeah,
I'm totally lost.
Somebody says Sylvester Stallone is Rocky. That's why I can't watch him. Somebody says we can totally hear Dusty hitting the vape. LOL. Don't have one.
Nah, not happening.
Don't have one.
So the interesting one for me with Ed Norton.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember? This is why I don't like Ed Norton, because it was a great character.
Yeah.
But it creeped me out. What was the name of the movie where he was in jail and he had like multiple personalities and Richard Gere was in the movie with him?
Oh, they're going to say Fight Club.
No.
American History X?
No. God, it's going to bother me.
I don't know. He was in jail? Multiple personalities?
And he had like multiple personalities.
Primal Fear?
Primal Fear. That's it. Yeah. Have you ever seen that movie?
I think so, way back in the day.
Okay.
If you
haven't seen the movie, go ahead and watch the movie. I mean, I'm not giving any spoilers. It's from the 90s. But like, that creeped me out. And ever since then, I'm like, can't do Ed Norton because he creeped me out he was so good in that movie.
I'll have to watch.
Yeah, it's
he's a great actor.
Speaking of a role that creeped me out was Natural Born Killers. Robert Downey Jr. is in that. He's the reporter, but is Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, I'd have to go back and look at that.
Yeah, so he plays the drunk, abusive dad. And
really?
He said that basically was something that killed him, literally, because he's always been the funny guy. Can't get no respect. And he plays the drunk, abusive dad of, I think it's, what's her name? That's the wife in that movie. And he was like that role.
I don't remember
just like,
that. I know I've seen it, but I mean,
loosely based off the song Nebraska by Bruce Springsteen.
No kidding.
If you listen to Nebraska and you watch that movie, it's very similar to the like Bonnie and Clyde vibe they have. Very depressive, morbid song. Nebraska. Yeah. But if you could never see a role get redone by anybody, who would it be? Somebody says Larry David is Larry David. It's amen true. To that.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Somebody said Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future from the 913. He wasn't originally cast as the lead in Back to the Future. If I'm not mistaken, and I could totally be mistaken, it was like Corey Haim. I can't remember who it was.
You look that up.
Just Google it.
It wasn't Alex V. Keegan?
No.
Okay. I got Google over here, yeah.
Okay. Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool is, that's in one you probably could never do again. But
Michael Scott.
Yeah.
Not cast in that. You're thinking of Michael J. Fox.
Mm, yeah.
There you go. Fesco of the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com.
Eric Stoltz, that's who was originally playing.
Eric Stoltz.
And he actually started filming the movie and they didn't like him, I think. Whoa. And so they went re-back and started the whole thing. Like, I think they were at the end of the filming and they hated him. And so they brought Michael J. and they had to do like the whole thing again.
We take you back to a moment of time when Ned Yost was still the manager, and plus we'll keep reading your bad takes. Get them in. What are your worst takes you've ever come up with? Be honest. Honesty is key. Women love it. Men love it. It's a good thing to have in this world. Women love Mac Morey. Men love Bob Fesco. And everybody loves me. I'm Dusty Likens. This is 610 Sports Radio. Is this from Now 6?
Oh, yes. Remember those albums? I love when the first one came out. I bought it. It's the only way to get music back then.
It's really dating our show to three different generations of people on this show.
Mac has no idea what Now is, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now That's Music, Volume 27.
Who? Oh, I remember the song, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Friday song, yeah.
Again, weekend.
Okay. Mac gets a car. He just rolls the windows down, puts the aviators on, lets the flow of the locks go.
This is rolling as you drive back to mom's today, right?
Yeah, you're banging it out of the car.
Guess who's out of town for the next few days?
Your
brother.
Mom?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, where'd
open
she go?
House, baby.
Kager at Mac's mom's house.
Yeah.
I do want to get back into this because I want to get into people's bad takes. Because I feel like honesty is a lift off your shoulders. Right. Maybe there's that time that, you know, you took a $5 bill off your buddy's dresser and you're like, a couple days later, you're like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done it. Here's $10 for, you know, me taking a $5 bill.
Right.
We all have bad takes. I asked Alex Gold, who's in the bullpen.
No, he's got tons of, he can't remember.
And I was like, what's been your worst take? He goes, oh, man, of recently I said Richie James was going to have 800 yards last year.
Yeah.
Yay. Yikes. But that's honesty. He smiled about it. He laughed about it. You know, Drew Nixon said Bo Nix is going to win the Rookie of the Year this year. Might be a bad take. I don't know.
Oh, that's terrible.
Hang on a second.
He didn't say
it. He said Bo Nix is going to be Rookie of the Year?
No, I just give him. He just loves
what
Bo
are the
Nix.
Odds? Drew Nixon and I are probably the only ones who do love Bo Nix,
though. That's true.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
Which, something to be said for that. You watch.
And
Bo Nix will be better than Caleb Williams this year. There it is. Mark the tape. I'll say it clear. Don't nobody say anything. Bo Nix will be better than Caleb Williams this year. Mark it. Save it for prosperity.
I'm saving that.
And when it happens, you'll lose it. Or it'll get wolfed.
Or we'll lean into it.
And that's fine. I don't care if I'm wrong. Like, that's the thing. Like, people are like, you get so mad if you're wrong. No, who cares? We all make predictions and things, and we're wrong, and it's okay. We're all probably more wrong than we're right, right? Wrong?
Yeah. Somebody says, any sports bet I make is honestly a bad take. Fair.
Love that one. That's really good.
My bad take, Mahomes' first training camp, he isn't that good.
Yeah.
Also, I have said once that he can't make his receivers better. He needs Tyreek. Not my best thoughts.
That's a good one, too.
We're all there. Oh, yeah, I remember everybody. When Mahomes first started, I said the entire season is going to be consistent inconsistency. My buddy never let that down to me. He's like, consistent inconsistency, huh? 10 touchdowns in 2 weeks and 1,300 yards. And I was like, I know.
Yeah, you're swinging a miss on that
I also
one.
Said Matt Castle was going to be the MVP coming over from the New England Patriots, going 11-5 after Tom Brady was hurt week one against the Chiefs because of Bernard Pollard, rule changes. Another bad take that my buddy Matt brought up to me was he goes, you remember that time in like 2016 or 17 and we were talking about fantasy football and overall picks and you said you were going to take Gronk with your first overall pick? I said, yeah. He goes, you know, Kelsey's a better tight end, right? He's going to have better numbers. Gronk's kind of like starting to like, you know, maybe not that great. And I was like, no, I think he's the best tight end to take in the draft. That was the year that Travis Kelce started the 1,000-yard seasons and became, so congratulations,
That's not
Matt.
A bad take then, though.
Yeah, but it turned out to be not so great.
It's not like, the reason we're talking about this is because Carrington tweeted the Americans were going to lose yesterday, like the game's over, you know, type of text or tweet yesterday. No way the Americans are coming back here on this one, and they did, and they won, and we all knew they would. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've all had bad takes. I said Alex Gordon should be cut in 2011. The trading of Travis Kelce people keep bringing up on the text line. We got Patrick Mahomes. Everybody's expendable. And then that's the way the team looked at it. I hate to break you the news, but that's the way the team looked at it. And they showed you that's the way they looked at it. They traded the greatest wide receiver in franchise history.
Somebody says, CDOT said J.J. Watt would be a bust. Ouch.
Ooh.
Mike Welsh saying Blake Bortles is the next Tom Brady.
Yeah, that was a bad
tough
one. Yeah.
My awful take that I still stick to. Alex Gordon was a terrible re-sign, and we needed to let him walk. 3 years later, he'd hit one of the biggest home runs, if not the biggest home run in Royals franchise
history.
Are you
talking about like when they signed him after 2015?
When they gave him the $70 million or whatever it was? Yeah.
Yeah, after he'd hit the home run.
Also, it was after, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Jayhawk for Life chimes in. I thought Matheny would be a great manager for the Royals. Eesh. Bad take from the 816. The Chiefs made a mistake by not drafting Geno Smith.
That's right, they did.
You know who popular
they,
one.
You know who they drafted that year, though? The last good left tackle we've had. Eric Fisher.
Was he the one that chugged the beer in the Super Bowl? Was that Fish? That was Fish.
Fish chugged the beer somewhere.
He grabbed two beers, Bud Lights, pounded them together Stone Cold Steve Austin style, and threw them down.
Yeah, I don't know that was the Super Bowl, if that was an Arrowhead.
I think that was an Arrowhead. They find him, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, they did find him.
Yeah. No fun league.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Anheuser-Busch picked up the fine.
Oh, yes. I
right?
do remember
did they
that.
Not, did Anheuser-Busch not pick up the fine?
And then I think they sent him a bunch of beer.
Yeah.
This is one that I found. This pretty not good. So they fit the ticket here. 785. After the loss of the Raiders on Christmas, I said there's no way we make it to the Super Bowl. I was saying lose out and trades Jones in the offseason to try and get Brock Bowers. Then the Chiefs won the Super Bowl.
Well, Jones wasn't under contract after this season, so they couldn't have traded him. Yeah. But that's just a bad take all around.
Yeah, lose out.
Another bad take. Jay Binkley had the Chiefs taking Deshaun Watson over Patrick Mahomes.
That is not true, and you know it. You want that, you know, because you're trolling his ass.
No, I went out there earlier and said that to him. He just died like a dustman.
You know how to bait the bear, okay? You know how to, because Jay Binkley's had one good take in 20 years, and that was Patrick Mahomes is coming to the Chiefs, and he's going to be great.
I used to get.
And he doesn't let you live that down.
I used to get new hires and interns. I say, you should go up to Binkley and give him crap, because he used to have the Chiefs taking Deshaun Watson over Patrick Mahomes. He'd go up to him, and he just goes, are you effing serious? Yeah. You've been talking to Wolf? Because that guy likes to stir up a lot of you-know-what. just a great guy, Jay Binkley. He'll be with Alex Gold today. Cody Tapp gets another day off.
Yeah, it's Cody Tapp's got more days off than anybody.
Maybe this is a bad take.
John, you're up next on Post Game Show. What's going on, John?
Hey, not to jump on the Ian Kennedy thing, but really, he threw seven. He's your highest paid pitcher in that bullpen. It's opening day. Keller threw his guts out. Throw Ian out there in the ninth. Get the win and go home. It's not about rust on these other. They came in the ninth rusty. They walked what, three or four batters. It was
four?
We got Yosted. We were a double gapper away from losing this game with two out and the bases loaded in the ninth. And because these guys need work, get the win on opening day. Give Keller his win. He earned it. Use your $17 million pitcher. He only threw seven pitches in the eighth. What possible explanation? I mean, they lose 3-2 on a rainy Saturday night and the bullpen blows it, nobody cares. This was opening day, Ned. Win this game. Go with your best. That's all I got to say.
So, I appreciate the call.
As we transition to 96.5 The Fan over the next week or so, I've started to kind of go in the Wayback Machine and find some of the great moments of 610 Sports Radio. There's a lot that we don't have. The Struggle's Worth One will never be found again. There's probably a song or two we'll play next week, maybe a little pumpkin picking and all that kind of stuff. Some of the great moments in 610 history. That right there ranks to me as one of the better moments that we've ever had on this station, because that was the day that caller John called in to rip Ned, but anybody who's anybody knows that was 100% Ned Yost calling in to the post game show to rip himself.
We got Yosted. We got Yosted.
I mean, is that not like the pacing, the wording, the voice?
Yeah.
I mean,
Brian Windhorse, you mean to tell me the game's over and no one sees Ned, but yet.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Like, listen again. It's 100% Ned calling in to rip himself
on Cody's show.
John, you're up next on Post Game Show. What's going on, John?
Hey, not to jump on the Ian Kennedy thing, but really. He threw seven. He's your highest paid pitcher in that bullpen. It's opening day. Keller threw his guts out. Throw Ian out there in the ninth. Get the win and go home. It's not about rust on these other. They came in the ninth rusty. They walked what, three or four batters. It was
four.
We got Yosted. We were a double gapper away from losing this game with two out and the bases loaded in the ninth. And because these guys need work. Get the win on opening day. Give Keller his win. He earned it. Use your $17 million pitcher. He only threw seven pitches in the eighth. What possible explanation? I mean, they lose 3-2 on a rainy Saturday night and the bullpen blows it. Nobody cares. This was opening day, Ned. Win this game. Go with your best. That's all I got to say.
Thanks for the vocal.
I appreciate the call.
Thanks for the call, Ned.
Continue to bring in your continue to bring in your hot takes that didn't end up so well here on the text line 913.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
586-7610. Coming up on the other side.
And to this day, Ned will not still admit that he called the postgame show.
Time to be a wrap yourself in the flag. The Olympics are about to end. The United States put us in a scare. What's next for the United States as they tip over their spot against Serbia? They'll go on and play the French in Saturday's game at 2:30. McMorrie, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio. This is Fesco in the Morning.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.